us and going forward. So we're really excited. And as we were sitting down, we have this extra month before we start Ecclesiastes, and we really wanted to go over with you why you're important to us, why you have a place here. Because the reason why we did the split when it came down to it is we wanted to be able to be more intentional with you as middle school students. We wanted to give more of our time and resources to you so that you could then grow spiritually and then have an avenue that you could bring your friends that are in your age group. Because we know that sometimes it's a little awkward when you're coming in sixth grade and you're sitting next to a 19-year-old who has a beard and is in high school. So it's a little different. You're in different places of life, and we understand that. So that's why we're doing this. So the bottom line of what we have for you today, what we're going to be going over, if you want to grab that handout that's under your chair, there should be a handout and a pen. The bottom line, if you don't get anything else from what we do today, is that family members work together. Family members work together. This is something my dad always told me growing up. As you're doing stuff around the house, family members, if you live here, we work together. You're part of this family. We're going to work together. Most memorable moment, I remember my dad saying that to me. We used to have a bunch of property. We were out working, and I didn't like working out in the field. I didn't like working around the house. And I told my dad, I was 12 at the time, so I was in sixth grade. My dad, I don't know if you've ever seen him. He attends here. He is a beast of a man. He's 6'5". He's just built. College football player, not somebody you'd want to mess around with as a 12-year-old. But I told my dad, I said, "If I can pin you to the ground, can we stop working?" And he's like, "Sure, yeah, we can do that." So I start wrestling my dad, and of course, very quickly, he subdues me and puts me on the ground. Well, he starts to walk away, and he's like, "Okay, get to work." I didn't quite take that as being done, so I jumped up and wrapped my arms around him from behind and grabbed him and pulled him down on top of me. What ended up happening is he fell on me so hard that he broke my leg. And so I never learned to argue with my dad from that point as far as working around the house or bones might be broken. So bottom line today is family members work together. Two misconceptions of when you're in church and when you're young, especially in middle school, is that to do anything of value, you have to be older and you have to know it all, which both of these misconceptions are flawed in the very base premises. And that's why we wanted to do this for you, and especially for you sixth graders that are coming in, that have been involved with the E-team, that have had positions of leadership inside of E-kids. We didn't want you to come in here and just be stuck inside your shell for a few years until you warmed up to all the high schoolers. We wanted you to be able to have an environment that you could then grow and serve and lead and be leaders as at the age that you are now, not having to wait till you're older, because you don't have to be in high school to be on a worship team. You don't have to be in high school to be in part of the internship. You don't have to know everything about Jesus to be able to be involved here. You don't have to know it all, and you don't have to be older. Some really good examples of this throughout the Bible, as far as examples that God doesn't just use older people or people that have it all together. We'll start with Joseph. He was 17 years old when God began to call him to greatness. Miriam, God used Miriam to watch over and protect Moses, her brother, who then delivered the people out of Egypt. David was anointed to be king of Israel as a teenager. Josiah became king at the age of 8 and brought the nation back to God. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet as a young man. Mary, mother of Jesus as a young teenager, was then called by God to be the mother of Jesus. And then Timothy was a young minister within the early church. So as you look there, none of these people were old. None of them were, old people. People that had it all together. They didn't have degrees. They didn't have high school educations. They didn't have doctorates. They were young, and God used them to do great things. Joseph didn't have it all together when God called him to eventually become second over Egypt. I know if I had been 17 and someone had said to me, "You're going to be the vice president of America," I wouldn't have been in a place where I could have made mature decisions or even have wrapped my mind around the fact that sometime in my life I'm going to be the vice president of America. If God had told me as a teenager I was going to be the president, not going to happen. Josiah, if I had been 8 and God had called me to be a president, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I was very immature at 8 years old. But yet God used an eight-year-old who then brought the whole nation eventually back to God. So God's done some great things throughout history and throughout the Bible through people who were willing to be used at a young age. And so that brings us to our first point, and it's that no title needed to be a leader. You have those blanks there, and the words for that first line is no title needed to be a leader. Once you got that, if you want to grab the Bible that's underneath your chair, flip over to Matthew 28. We'll have it on the screen, but it's always good to follow along. There's nothing like feeling the Bible in your hands and reading along. So Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And this is a verse you'll hear a lot around here in different things we do. It's the core of who we are as Christians and the church worldwide. This is the last thing that Jesus told us to do, so we like to focus on it a lot. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and then they saw him and worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So, like I said, this is the very last thing Jesus told us to do here on the earth. If you were to boil Christianity and everything that's happened in the early church to this point, everything comes back to this. And this goes back to, you don't have to be older to be able to win your friends in your middle schools, or if you're homeschooled, the friends that you come in contact with, your co-op groups or different teams. We all come in contact with people every day who don't know Jesus. They're out there by the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands. And every one of you comes from a different background, whether you go to Pershing or Pipkin or Nixa or Rogersville, wherever you go, you're in a middle school. And that middle school has hundreds of students there. And guaranteed, there are students in your middle school who don't know Jesus. And you as a 6th, 7th, 8th grader are just as qualified to be someone who tells them about Jesus as anyone else who you'd see come up here on the stage or anyone older than you. You're just as qualified to do that. And so if you want to grab the Bible and turn to page 714, Mark chapter 2. Got a little bit more for you to read there. Page 714. Chapter 2, verses 15 and through 17. All right. And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." So breaking this verse down, Jesus was out hanging out with some of his friends. These weren't like the popular people around town. These were tax collectors, prostitutes, people who didn't have a good background. People didn't think they were nice, that they were worthy of hanging out with. And yet Jesus was there hanging out with them, having dinner with them, reclining with them. You could almost say they were hanging out watching the game. You know, it wasn't the Chiefs because that's not a game worth watching, but they were just hanging out, having a good time. They were probably watching the Cowboys beat up on the Giants. But Jesus was there with people that no one wanted to be around with. So then when the people that society considered to be good and right and righteous and all this stuff, when they walked in and saw that, they were completely upset. And why are you hanging out with them? Why are you doing this? Why are you eating with them? They're dirty, they're filthy, they're nasty. Why are you doing that? Why are you wasting your time? Why are you defiling yourself in this way, being seen in the same room as them? And Jesus told them plainly, if I'm the doctor, I'm not going to hang out with those people who are already well, but I'm going to hang out with those who are sick. If I was to ask Vianne, how many people come to you to just hang out in your office that are well, I'd say most of the people that come to your office are somehow sick and somehow need medical assistance. Doctors weren't created to just hang out with people who are well. They're there to help the people who are sick get well. And that's what Jesus was doing with his life and his purpose. And that's what he's carried on to us through the Great Commission, is that our lives are to be given to those who aren't well, those who are sick, those that need Jesus, those that need Christ to change their life so they're not living in sin, so they're not pursuing those wrong things, so that we can be those witnesses to them. So the next blank that I have for you is, outcasts are the in crowd with Jesus. Outcasts are the in crowd with Jesus. Outcasts are the in crowd with Jesus. Okay, so you could say it like this. You know, many people would often say that as being a pastor, you're more qualified to hang out with people that need to know Jesus, and that you're better at doing that, and you're probably know-it-all, and you got all this. But that just because someone has a title doesn't mean that they have the heart to be able to reach someone. You have a contact with your friends that I'll never have, that Pastor Justin will never have, that Rachel will never have, none of the leaders will ever have. You know, you're there with them every day. You're with school with them. You're at practices with them. You're playing music with them. Whatever it is you do with your friends, you're there around them in times that we're not. You have a relationship that's on a completely different level. And so when it comes to being able to have a real impact on people's lives, you know, we can give you the information and give you what the Bible says and pour into you, but you're the ones that are going to have to go out there and make the difference. And we're all called to do this. It's not just us up here. It's not just you by yourself, but there's people all around you all the time that are there supporting you, walking with you, and just like Jesus, you know, we're supposed to be going out to those and making our lives purposeful and being with those that society would call outcasts. You know, people thought Jesus would automatically want to be with the good people, or that a pastor would automatically want to hang out with people who are good and right and just. But honestly, if I had to choose, I would rather hang out with my friends who don't know Jesus, because a lot of the times they're more real with where they are in life. And I can have a better impact on them than someone who's been in church in their whole life. And so being intentional with the relationships that you have is going to be a real big step towards us doing what Jesus has called us to do. And if you are a Christian, it really boils down to your role is to reach other people for Jesus. Like, the most simple form of Christianity and what you're supposed to do once you're a Christian, you're a Christian, your role is to reach other people for Jesus. And that can be a daunting task. The fact that you are this one person and there are thousands of people out there who don't know Jesus. And some of you may not be the best communicators. You may not be the best people person. You know, you may not have all the right words and all the right stuff to say. But that's the thing, is that you don't have to know it all. You don't have to be at a certain position or place in life to be able to have an impact. You just have to be yourself. And the thing is that you're not alone. Since all of us are called to do this, we're all called to reach other people for Jesus. We're all called to have that impact and to go out and do what we can while we're here on the earth. And so that brings us to our last point here, which is we are in this together. We are in this together. We are in this together. And so our goal as we, in the factory here, as everything we've done over the years and now going forward with this new launch, is we never want someone to feel like they're alone in all of this. You should never feel like you're the only person at your school, you're the only person in your life, you're the only person doing the right thing, standing up for what's right, you're the only person telling others about Jesus. You should never feel that way, because we are all in this together. We're all called to do the same thing. We're all in schools together. We're all, every day we see people and we should be doing this. So the fact that you have people who, while they may not physically be standing next to you, they're out doing the exact same thing. They're out praying for others, out reaching others, out talking with others, out just hanging out with people. No one comes to Jesus without a relationship first being built. it's a rare thing when you can just walk up to someone and say, get to know Jesus, and they automatically do it. It comes through you building and creating a relationship in an environment where they can trust you and trust that what you have in your life is something that they want as well. It's you pouring into them and building that relationship and just having times of hanging out, of building each other up. And so as we're in this community of the factory together, we never want you to feel like you're alone, because we're all always going to be here with you. If you ever needed anything, you could always contact a leader, your connect group leader. We are designing our connect groups so that your leaders hopefully will be there the whole time that you're with you throughout your experience here at the factory, so that if you need anything, you can pick up the phone and give them a call and say, hey, I'm struggling here, or hey, I had this situation and somebody asked me this one question about Jesus and I didn't know what it was and I was confused. I told him I'd get back with him. You can call your leader and say, hey, I've got this question. Help me out. If you're ever going anything with your family that you need prayer for, call your connect group leader. Call one of us, Pastor Justin or myself. We're always here to help you grow spiritually in any way that we can. Like, if we're not here to do that, then the point of us being here is pointless. That's all we're here for, is to help you pursue Jesus and to connect with others and to connect with leaders. And so we're going to do everything we can as we start this new venture into the middle school services and into the middle school portion of the factory to help you in every way to fulfill what Jesus has called you to do. And so some of the things that we wanted to really hit home today, whether this is your first time with us today, whether you're a first-time visitor, whether you could count on one hand the number of times you've been in here since you've come up from fifth grade, or whether you've been here for a couple of years and you've sat through several services, you think you've got it all together, you know what we're about, you know what we do. Things we wanted to hit you with is that, you know, as we go through this, no one ever walks alone. This is a family, and no one is ever alone. We don't leave people alone. We don't, you know, let others be alone. We're always together. We're always family. If you see someone who's alone, pursue them, bring them in. This is family. You know, you don't just leave some members of your family off in one end of the house when you have family gatherings. You don't just leave them alone and say, you can't come do this. But you bring everybody in, you bring everybody together, because it's a family gathering. And that's what we want every service in here to be, is a family gathering. So no one ever walks alone. No one is ever out in these hallways, walks these hallways alone. If you see someone that's new, if you see someone that's been here for a while, and they're in these hallways alone, whether it's out in the main foyer, out in the hallways, in the sanctuary, out here, if you see somebody walking alone, you can tell when someone's just walking or whether they're just lonely. Go out of your way to make them feel welcome. Go out of your way to make them feel part of the family. That's what we're here for. I mean, if we can't even build each other up in that way, then we've got a lot to learn. So no one ever walks our hallways alone. No one has fun alone. We really want to step things up for you as middle schoolers as we're going into this new venture, as far as, you know, providing more avenues for you to just have fun and hang out together. I don't know if anybody enjoyed the little game this morning, but we're going to be coming up with more things, even outside activities, for you to be able to grow together as a middle school family and as middle schoolers going through the same stuff in life. We want you to have fun together. And the best way to build relationships is just to have fun together with somebody. So no one has fun alone. No one sits alone. So if you see somebody sitting alone, someone by themselves, go sit with them. Go join them. Someone comes in that's never been here before or has been here 100 times, join them. Make them feel part of the family, because it's not right that somebody should be sitting alone. And then no one experiences Jesus alone. Spiritually, we're all growing together. We've all been called to the same thing. Jesus called us all to go reach people, and we all don't know it all. No matter if you've been a Christian for a week or you've been a Christian for 10 years, there's still more to learn. So we're still going to be pursuing Jesus. And so no one should feel like they're any less because they know less about Jesus. And no one should feel better because they think they've got it all together. But we're all growing daily, weekly, every service. We're growing together. And we're all pursuing Jesus. We've all got a goal and we're all going towards it. and then no one stays alone. And so if in any area there's somebody that you see is struggling with friends, struggling with spiritual aspects, any area that you could see that hasn't been encompassed by that, we're going to go out and we're going to wrap them in this family. This is who we are. This is what we do. That's what we're here for. And it's not something we're going to relent on, but it's something we're going to continue driving, is that this family grows together, this family stays together, and this family becomes bigger because we are a strong unit. So if you want to go ahead and stand up and the band starts to come, we have a few different areas today. So they're just getting ready. It's nothing real entertaining to watch. As you're sitting in here this morning and you were thinking to yourself, you know, it's an exciting time for all of us. It's a new chapter. We've never done this before. This is something we're still figuring out as we go, and hopefully we'll make better every time that we're together. And so if you're sitting here alone today and you have thought to yourself that you've been here and here for a few weeks, maybe a few years, and you've been alone, you felt like the outsider, you felt like you were the one that doesn't know Jesus, and maybe you've come to several services, or this is your first one, and you've heard time and time again, you know, we always want to offer opportunity for Jesus, and maybe you've heard it several times, but you've just never felt like you were good enough because you were the outcast. You were the one that, you know, people made fun of. You were the one that nobody wanted to be with, and so that's kept you from coming to Jesus. And so today, if you're that person that, you know, you feel like you've been the outcast with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never had the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus, more than anything else we'll ever do here, we want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. If we don't do that, then we're failing at what we do. And so if you've never had that opportunity, or you've never just taken the opportunity, to have a relationship with Jesus, if you want to raise your hand, go ahead. Right. The second thing today is, if you've ever been alone here, if you've ever walked these halls alone, sat alone, been alone in any way, you felt like you're growing spiritually, you're the only one here, and you could just really use some support. You know, you have situations that you've come up with where you don't know the answers. You don't know it all. You don't know how to respond when your friends say certain things. You've been confused about a lot of stuff, and you feel like you've been alone. We'd love to be able to pray with you and support you today. So if that's you and you've ever felt like you fell into any of those categories where you've been alone, first we want to apologize and say that's our bad, but we're going to continually pursue to bring you in as family. And so, if you've ever felt alone and you want to raise your hand and have somebody pray with you, and you know, just take notice that, hey, we're going to be here with you from this moment on. So if that's you and you want to raise your hand, awesome. All right. Well, as we go into worship, we're going to start it off with some prayer today. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for family. And we thank you that what you've called one of us to do, you've called us all to do, in that you've given us all the same mission. We're all here to reach people for you. And so, God, I pray that if there's ever been a person that's felt they weren't part of this family and part of this team, God, I pray that they would come back and realize that we're here and we're loving them. And we want to do this together. We want to do what you've called us to do as a body. And so encourage us in that, Lord. Help us.